Good morning and evening, amateurs and shortwave listeners. This week we have news on POTA, Southern Electronics Group's car boot sale, Pargfest, our regular articles from Ono and Steve, and of course, more great bargains from Roy's Helpline. This is News West, VK6ARN. We're a community organisation, and we've been serving up the news since 1931. I'm Steve, VK6SJ, your presenter this week. Now, on with the news.
Good morning from the Southern Electronics Group. SEG would like to announce an event planned for March 2026. The SEG Mount Barker car boot sale is planned for Saturday, the 7th of March 2026. The event will be located at Frost Park, the Mount Barker racecourse, which is just off McDonald Avenue in Mount Barker. Doors will open at 11 a.m. and there will be a $5 cover charge for buyers and sellers. Bring along your treasures or come and grab a bargain. For all those southern country folk who miss the Hamfest sales in Perth, here's your opportunity to clear out the shack. We'll provide further updates as we get closer to the event. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
G'day from WARG. WARG news for the 11th of January 2026. The problem with breaking news is that by the time of broadcast, sometimes, well, it's broken news. So what do I know? Well, we were trying to give you all a Christmas present, but apparently the mice didn't get the memo in the other dimension. Colin took a brand new memory card up to the site to update the software, but, well, the card didn't work. Have you ever been to that place for office supplies and bought something new only to find that it's simply too big for the technology to recognise? Well, it may have been that, or anyway, he needed to take the box back with him home. An old, small card worked, and that's all that really matters in the end. So the 23-centimetre box is working on the testbed and awaits installation. Now, we are guests up at the site and need to not out-annoy our welcome as far as access to the site is concerned, so as soon as we think it's safe to ask them to take the time out of their schedule to accommodate escorting us through their site, and we did do 3 visits in a row at the end of last year, that's actually unprecedented, by the way. So in a few weeks' time, we hope to give you all a repeater at 6RTH on 23 centimetres. Now, looking forward to the 2nd of February is the first meeting for the year. Doors open 7 p.m. for a 7:30 p.m. start at the first Pelican Point Sea Scout Hall, number 12, Australia 2 Drive in Crawley. Plenty of time both before and after the meeting to grab a refreshment and to chat amongst ourselves. It's a popular Perth eyeball. Hope to see you there. And I hope to hear you after the news this morning up on 6RLM and All Star Hubs for the technical and general net. And as always, if you're listening in the evening, well, it's next week, 10:30. After the callbacks on 146.750 or your favourite All-Star link. 73s from WARG.
Ham College is an organisation focused mainly on providing top quality training to enable students to attain their foundation standard or advanced licences. We run a foundation course in the first weekends of February, April, June, August, October and December, with the exams being run in the second weekend of each month. We also run a standard and advanced course on Tuesday nights, starting in March and generally finishing in October of each year. While there are quicker ways to get the qualification, we believe our approach provides the best depth of knowledge of any course in the country and providing the most useful start to your amateur career. To book a place on any of our courses, please use the Contact Us page on our website at www.hamcollege.org.au. We're constantly looking for additional instructors to assist in delivering our courses. We've had a number of foundation licensed hams assisting in delivering the foundation course, so please don't let your license level prevent you from assisting. More experienced hams are also sought after for teaching all levels of training. Our training and support crew are well respected and a friendly crew of hams. We learn from each other and our students. We're also keen to add to our training courses to provide training in other aspects of the hobby, but we would need additional instructors for this. So if you have a topic you would like to teach, please contact us via our Contact Us page.
Good afternoon, Noon, and welcome to this Parks on the Air update. Next weekend, the 17th and 18th of January, is the Parks on the Air Support Your Parks weekend. This quarterly activity encourages activators to get out into parks to visibly promote the hobby, and the Predator activity, where there will be numerous other hams on air making contacts very likely. One of the aspects of POTA promotes park-to-park activity, and there are specific awards for this. POTA Supports Your Park Weekend is a global activity, and there are numerous groups, big and small, activating together. In WA, there are planned activations in Perth at Wireless Hill, and possibly another couple of places not locked in yet. In the southwest, there will be park activations on Saturday the 17th at Peppermint Grove Beach, Del Yellup Beach, and a couple of parks in the vicinity of Donnybrook. There'll also be an activation in Warren National Park on the south coast on the Sunday. Don't feel pressured that you have to bring radio equipment, as those who are setting up will encourage visiting hams to participate. So if you want to see what this POTA thing is about, get in contact through newswest@vk6.net, and we can put you in contact with someone to coordinate when they will be activating. If you're interested in activating a POTA park, and just not got around to it yet, doing so on a Support Your Parks weekend is a great opportunity, as there are many other hams with the same idea who will be specifically listening out for you. It's simple to register on the POTA website. Go to pota.app, spelt P-O-T-A dot A-P-P, which is a website, not an app. Use the orange sign up button on the top right to register. The site will show you who and where and on what band people are activating right now. As an activator, logging your park contacts is relatively simple, and I believe most activators are using Ham2K Polo Logger, which is available for Android and iPhone. I use it on my iPad to good effect. So take the opportunity to try something new and get out into a park, under your own steam or with a group already organised. I hope to hear you on air. This is Darren, VK6EK, WA Coordinator for Parks on the Air.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. When you start on the journey of putting together a shack, in whatever form that eventually takes, you'll need to figure out how much space is required. Of course, no matter what you choose, it's never enough, but you have to start somewhere. Ultimately, a shack is a work in progress. As an aside, I'm using the word shack, but that is really an amateur concept, so we're not necessarily talking about a plot of land with a wooden lean-to cobbled together from bits of wood collected from your beachcomber days. Not that it can't be that, but it doesn't have to be. As I've said, my shack is a wooden trestle table. I know shacks that are a dedicated room in a house, a converted garage, a garden shed, a warehouse office, a radio station, an outbuilding, several scout halls, demountables, a converted passenger bus, and plenty more. In this context, in referring to shack, I mean the place where my radio lives when I get on air to make noise. But shack runs off the tongue a little easier. Budget aside, in order to attempt to quantify your space requirements, you need to figure out what you're going to do with it. This perhaps sounds a little ludicrous, since the answer is amateur radio. Duh, obviously. Okay, so here's some questions. Does amateur radio for you mean any of the following? Operating the local repeater? HF radio? Solo or with visitors? Listening to multiple stations, operating multiple bands simultaneously, computers, Morse code, contesting, soldering, building, experimentation, and plenty more. While we're at it, if you're into soldering, Is that with valves, discrete components, or integrated circuits? And what levels of existing bits and pieces do you have? I'm asking because the racks of jars, component trays, and drawers I've seen over the past 15 years often rival the actual shack for size. In other words, when you're thinking about what you want to do, be specific. For me, amateur radio is more about computers and less about soldering irons. That's not to say that I don't own a soldering iron, just that its use is incidental rather than fundamental. Computers, keyboards, and monitors, on the other hand, for me, are part and parcel of my amateur radio experience. Truth be told, if I could, I'd try to eliminate all the analog radios from my shack and replace them with a single box capable of wideband operation across the amateur bands that I could control with a computer. I realised that this is not a universal picture of what amateur radio means, but it's what it means for me, because it represents the ultimate level of flexibility. That said, I love my FT-857D. I have several other radios that I loan out from time to time to new amateurs, while they find their feet. I love to experiment with those as well, so my shack needs space for temporary setups. While I enjoy chewing the fat over a cup of coffee, I rarely get on air and make noise with anyone else. That's not because I don't appreciate it, but because I've yet to discover an effective way of filtering interference, a topic for another day. Even if you're not a computer nerd like me, there's a high probability that a shack today includes a computer of some description, for record keeping, propagation forecasts, logging, and digital modes. So it's a good idea to imagine yourself actually doing your planned activities, and speculating what kinds of things you'll need. Like, where do you put your cup of coffee, your keyboard, and your Morse key? While we're discussing putting things down, think about the ability to actually use these things, not just where they live. It's no fun balancing a keyboard and trying to reach over the top to change the operating frequency, or having to strain your neck to look at the logging screen when you've made that elusive contact. So think about the ergonomics of what you're planning. Right now, I have a wire shelving unit sitting on my desk. It's 80 centimetres tall, 90 centimetres wide, and 30 centimetres deep. The two shelves are adjustable in height. Currently, one is at the highest point. The other has enough space to fit a base station radio underneath it, about 13 centimetres from the lowest point. It's not ideal, since it means that the keyboard is in front of it. During the previous iteration, of which there have been several, my monitors were in front of this and the keyboard was an external one connected to a laptop to the right of the screen, allowing me to have two screens to display information. The idea was that I'd use the computer to control the transceivers using a protocol called CAT. This never happened, so operating was awkward, to say the least, and as a result, hardly used. Instead, the FT-857D sat on top of the bottom shelf, using a sound card to operate on digital modes. A slightly better operating angle, were it not for the monitor that hid it from view. As I said, not ideal. I'm mentioning all this to give you a picture of at least one other shack. But, in my experience, nothing beats going out to see what others have gotten up to. Of course, you can visit shacks online with the proliferation of photographs proud amateurs have shared. But there's a difference between looking at a photo and walking around someone's physical shack. So keep that in mind. Other space considerations are rarely, if ever, talked about. What space is there left for you to make changes to your shack? You might think that your shack won't change once you've built it. Here's a change. Disconnecting the antenna in case of a thunderstorm. Here's another, plugging in a CAT cable, setting up an external speaker, or even buying a new radio. You name it, the shack is never done. So think about the idea of being able to walk behind the radio. If you think that's silly, put the shack on wheels. You'll thank me later. While you're walking behind your equipment, consider coax routing, a topic of its own, but being mindful of the need to actually get the coax from where it enters to your gear and how it relates to any electricity routing required to actually power your gear. One other consideration in relation to space is your chair. How much space does it need? Can you adjust it? Is it on casters or a wooden dining chair? Again, this can be as simple as a dining table, or it can be something more substantial. In my experience, a happier outcome is achieved if you spend some quality time thinking about some of the questions I've proposed. As you might have guessed, there's plenty more to explore. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
You are listening to News West, your weekly news from VK6 ARN. If you have any items for the news, the latest they can be submitted is noon Friday. If you have an item you would like read out by the news team, please give plenty of notice to allow someone to record the item before the Friday deadline. This is Darren, VK6EK, for Amateur Radio News, VK6 ARN.
A word from Weiss and WA. Happy New Year to all, and we're raring to go do some ham radio this year. Are you? Well, join us for the first meeting of the year. In Kings Park at the gazebo on Soar Ave, barbecue and bring a camp chair. And after the meeting, we transition to the first fox hunt for 2026. Starting from the Women's Memorial Fountain at 3 p.m. What day, you say? That would be February the 8th. What day is that? The day after Pargfest. The Sunday. Yep, we're not meeting on the Monday because we're going to have a lunch and a fox hunt the day before. So we're going to have a meeting at the lunch. Sounds good? We thought so. What can you do to get ready? Google mobile setups for fox hunting, or DuckDuckGo, or whatever you do these days. I used to use AltaVista. I know, that's just being rude, showing my age. Age? Eh? What about age? Didn't I tell you that 2026 would be here soon enough? Boo! Here it is. You can join us on air on Wednesday evenings. 20 hours hotel, that's 8 o'clock in Perth and Western Australia, on VK6 RLM 146.750 and the VK6 hubs on Allstar, or simulcast on 80 metres 3.600 plus or minus QRM, or check out the website at weissandwar.org. That's Whiskey India Charlie Echo November Whiskey Alpha .org. The barbecue will be self-catering. We're not rich. We're also not fancy. But bring a bite to cook or just to eat, and join us with your presence on the 8th after Pargfest. Yep, we're all getting started for a big 2026. Late January and early February. Are you ready for it? You are listening to News West. On air, online, and on demand.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? This is a resurrection of an article I published about 3 years ago, but thought it might be worth raising again. I thought I'd float an idea I, and I know quite a few others, have also had on something akin to the old VK6 branch of the WIA. State branches ceased to exist in a WIA-owned format quite a while ago, I believe in 2004, with assets being distributed across various clubs. New South Wales and Victoria retained their respective organisations, but without reference to the WIA. It seems to me that there isn't a national appetite for state branches, so I'm not suggesting that. I do wonder if there is a desire to have a single organisation that represents VK6 concerns to organisations like the WIA and possibly RASA, and consists of representatives from all clubs in WA. The purpose of an organisation like this would need to be discussed amongst a group, but my thinking is that it might not try to replace clubs, club stations, etc., as that would detract from club functions and not within the spirit of improving our hobby. Things it could do are look at sharing some responsibilities across the groups, if needed, instigate dialogue with the WIA on issues affecting WA amateurs, facilitating more dialogue between clubs, Work on projects of interest to all clubs, but might be too big for any single club to take on. Things that might come into this might be larger repeater projects that couldn't reasonably be expected to be shouldered by WAG. Just a thought, so don't stone me. Youth program, hosting a future WIA AGM. De-expeditions. How could something like this be instigated? It's probably as simple as presidents of all the WA clubs getting together on a Zoom or Teams session, or better still, over a meal or beverage, but that would be challenging for clubs outside Perth, and throwing some ideas around and seeing where it takes us. I suspect it would take a few such meetings to determine a purpose for being that augments a hobby rather than replacing any aspect of members' clubs' activities. In some ways, we have a similar function spread across the community. WAG, News West and Ham College contain members who are often members of other clubs as well as these groups. These groups exist for niche reasons rather than being a club for all kinds of interests like Southern Electronics Group, BRC, HAG, PAG, NCRG, etc. The VHF group kind of falls in between all these, I think. News West Perth Tech is probably the closest thing to a VK6-wide event and is probably the birthplace of the concept I'm talking about today. As a president of one of the groups in Perth, Ham College, I'd be happy to chair a meeting like this, or equally happy to just participate if someone else wanted to chair it. My email address is on my QRZ page if anyone's interested. Well, thanks for listening. This is Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know on News West VK6ARN.
Hello, I'm Tony, VK6DQ, from Peel Amateur Radio Group. The countdown to Pargfest 2026 is underway. The largest annual hamfest south of the river will again be held at the Mandurah Bowling Club on the morning of Saturday, February 7th, near the Mandurah Rail Station. Doors open for exhibitors at 8 a.m. If you have not already booked your free tables, do so now, or you may miss out. Doors open for the public at 9 a.m. The entry fee is still only $5 each. Get in early for a bargain, meet up with old friends, barista coffee, hot food. The door prizes and mega raffle draws will be at 12 noon. Cash tickets available at the venue on the day. However, they are available right now via the PARG website. Bring your ham radio and electronics enthusiast friends along for a great day in Mandurah. Put it in your diary now. Saturday, February 7th, Peel Amateur Radio Group's annual Pargfest and swap meet.
The Northern Corridor Radio Group gathers for a chat, cooked breakfast and work on current projects every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. Visitors and prospective new members are always welcome. The club is on Nangara Road at Whiteman Park on the first right turn after the Tonkin Highway entrance when travelling east towards Allenbrook. The club has an excellent station with multiple operating rooms, an EME station, a remote station for all members to use, club repeaters on 2 metres, 70 cms and 23 centimetres, and a bunch of other activities for members of all interests.
RASA's QTC magazine, January edition, has been published. Most of the content in the slim January edition is a recap of services and resources provided by RASA, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. The RASA team will be meeting face-to-face in April to check progress on our strategic plan and to incorporate any new initiatives. Something that is very important to RASA is to have a feel for what the amateur radio community in Australia is thinking. To this end, we'll be seeking input from the amateur radio community. We'll be seeking your input, whether it's about services that RASA provides or could provide to the amateur radio community, and also, very importantly, what you'd like to see your representatives achieve, or at least attempt to achieve, in the regulatory field of amateur radio. The two obvious sticking out items are the kilowatt transmitter power and access to 60 metres. RASA has been quite upfront with you about how we are pursuing those issues, but are they the issues that are on your mind? Perhaps there's something else that's more important to you. We'd love to hear what you're thinking about. Moving away from RASA stuff, I've embarked on a course of learning Morse code with the intent of using CW for POTA and similar activities, giving me more excuses to go extramural with my activities. Now that I have a small backyard, I have more time and Energy for Radio. I and several others around Australia have enrolled for a 10-week course with CW Academy. There are three courses being conducted: beginner, intermediate, and advanced. It's a huge commitment, however, the pass rate is quite high for this course. I'm about to enter week three and I think my sanity level is still pretty stable. I'll let you know how I go. The free DV net is still bobbing along on Tuesday afternoons, 4 p.m. Have you had a go at free DV yet? Free DV is a brilliant, open source, ever-developing piece of software that takes digital voice to another level. To use free DV, your radio must be interfaced with a computer, and the computer needs a second sound card. This can be a USB dongle, USB headset, or even a USB-connected audio mixer. The software will use Hamlib or OmniRig to control the radio. Now here's the clincher. In terms of which operating system to use, name your poison. There are free DV versions available for Windows, Mac OS, and Linux users. Well, they can compile away to their heart's content to make a version to suit their Linux distro. Point your browser to freedv.org and go from there. The net is on Tuesday, 4 p.m, and you start off at 7.045. That's on 40 metres. And the FreeDV reporter, which pops up when you open the app, will tell you where the rest of us are. I'm Bob VK6POP.
G'day, g'day, g'day. Happy New Year, everyone. This is Roy VK6X-Ray Victor for this week's helpline for the 11th of January 2026. New year, a new month, and I hope everything's going swimmingly for you. Better than helpline anyway. We've got very little new stuff this week. Mac VK6 Mike is looking for a DTMF microphone to suit the Yaesu Fox Tango 2200 transceiver. For example, the Yaesu microphone, which is Mike Bravo 27 Bravo Bravo. Can anyone help with that microphone or a compatible one to suit a Fox Tango 2200? You can email Mac on his email, of course, vk6mikemike@iinet.net.au. Again, vk6mikemike@iinet.net.au. And Keith may still have a pair of Bofang UHF handheld transceivers with power supply, $50 for that group there. And also has a Maxon Papa Mike 100 UHF transceiver with four channels, including the 434.8 megahertz repeater, VK6RAP, and asking $60 for that. Please contact Keith, VK6PapaTango. His email address is Kilo Echo India Tango Hotel Papa Echo Tango Echo Romeo Sierra Oscar November 962. That's Keith Pedersen, 962@gmail.com. Thank you once again, and any email for me, please send to vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. You have a bonza new year, and I'll see you further down the curly court. VK6xrayvictor 73.
Thanks, Roy. Well, that brings this week's broadcast to an end. Thank you to presenters, contributors, broadcasters, and especially all you listeners. We're always looking for material for the broadcast, so please feel free to send in your club news or any article of interest in either voice or text. Now please stand by for the callbacks, or if your broadcast doesn't have a callback, put out a call yourself and create your own callback and send us the details. 73s, this is Steve, VK6SJ, at VK6ARN News West.